Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
I can't believe it. I can't believe you
I
two.
I can't believe it.
No, you two are disappointing me. I think the listeners are going to be disappointed.
I can't believe it's not butter.
No, I can't believe
it. I can't believe that I've even eaten it.
I can't believe you're not my better. Because
what we ain't believing?
Because I just said to you guys, as they came round, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Brown Node, right?
Hello.
These boys turned up, Kedge and Satch, we're all here at my house. We're in the garage now, but we've been sat in the kitchen for the last half an hour.
Been a while, hasn't it? Been a while.
It's been a while.
Well, firstly, it has been a while because I was expecting you at 7 p.m. And then I swear on the messages we said 7 p.m.
It was 7, but it was corrected to 8, but obviously you didn't see
it. I didn't see it.
Made a boo-boo.
I made a little boo-boo.
Typical Kedge. Yep. Blame it Kedge. Was hashtag. Fault. And then... And I put some samosa in the oven to warm up. I thought, lovely. They're like a nice Punjabi samosa, the big ones. Not the little thin filo pastry gujarati ones.
They're slightly passive-aggressive samosa.
Yeah, they are. They're big and fluffy, but they could also crush your house.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And they crush your stomach.
Yeah, they do, right? So I had the Punjabi samosa, but I made chutney, chole,
right?
Chickpeas. I made them. I really was really craving it. I thought, right, let me make them.
Yeah, because I do love chutney with bhature.
Oh, it's a winning combo, right? Yeah. It's beautiful.
But, say it how we're meant to say it, Kedge.
Chutney bhature, as how Gujarati say.
Okay, we say chole bhature.
Yeah.
But in Hindi, it's more chole bhature.
Right.
Chole. And then people say chutney rather than chole. Yeah. But anyway.
Chana.
You've never had samosa and chana together?
No.
See that, I put this down for these. Please email or DM the Brown Node, whatever, and please let these guys know that I'm not the only one. Because right now, it's two against one.
No, look, I know it's a thing. I know you man eat that.
Samosa, but covered.
No, but you offered it to us. And I was like,
you even have it with an aloo tikki. Satch is kicking the table. He's getting
calm
that.
Calm down, boys. Calm down.
Sorry.
It's getting emotional when it comes to food. But even like an aloo tikki in the chutney. Have you had that?
Yeah, I get that. I understand.
And you also pour the chutney over your samosa as well. So as well as a bit of like maybe
that I don't get.
It's a good.
Do you when you get into the bath, do you pour the chutney over you as well?
Right,
he would.
There's a website for fetishes like that.
OnlyFans.
I bet you there's a Punjabi porno website where you can get women covered in chutney.
Tommy, there's a staff is in there singing chutney meria.
Yeah, exactly. OnlyFans. Only.
But it's a weird combo. I mean, I think for Gujarati it displaces us completely.
Mm. Yeah, no, it did. I felt like I got served two meals.
Because Tommy goes, you just eat it together. How? Like, I need to scoop. I need to dip and I need to pull.
Yeah, you do. You do need to pull. But you failed at that.
What about the dish?
With the samosa, it's like, so you've got to eat it with, and it's like, I don't know, like the chutney has obviously got that texture that, you know, it's a chewing, then samosa, the Punjabi samosa is the chewing,
what? You have to chew both bits of food?
It's a lot of chewing and it doesn't.
What, like food? You have to chew. No, what is going on in the world, Kedge?
The combo doesn't sit right in my head.
Kedge is just a swallower.
No, yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to chew.
Less
he wants
chewing,
to liquidize samosa.
Yeah.
And just kind of...
It is a traditional Punjabi dish, which I... Put it this way. In all my 40 years... That's the first time I've had it.
Oh.
No, I know about it. I know that you guys have that, but we don't.
Yeah, but can you not see how it goes, though?
No.
Because the pastry soaks in the chutney sauce. And then you get like this kind of bit of soggy pastry on the outside of the samosa. Yeah. And you've got the hot potato filling. And the potato and the peas aren't
maybe
in the
chutney. Maybe if you made the samosa, Yeah. Oh,
okay. Right. But they're from Samosa Masi up the road. You know.
Oh, Samosa Masi.
You know, like, you know, someone in the house at the back of the
Samosa Masi looked like she used her own skin to make the samosa because that was solid, rock hard. Yeah. Ain't been, you know,
you know why?
Why?
You know why?
Why?
Because they've been in the oven since 7 o'clock. Because I timed them to warm up for seven, and that's why. Do you know? At 7:10, I never would chase you, boys.
I went,
boys. I thought you were coming from 7. And they went, no, it's 8. I thought, now what to do? I can't cool the samosa down.
Yeah.
And then warm them back up.
Right.
And I saved these. It was actually 4.
Yeah, in Gujarat, you would say they'd slightly got a bit pana.
Yeah, yeah. Akar.
Yeah, like just a bit hard.
Yeah, yeah. That's so, it. Yeah, because they dried out. Yeah, maybe sitting there waiting for 45 minutes.
Next time, Tommy. Make them fresh.
Oh, sorry, I will do. Yeah. No, yeah, but what make what fresh? No, these are two different dishes.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to have that again.
Oh, wow.
See, okay. I don't mind like a samosa chaat with yogurt and all of that.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
That's, yeah. But janao and samosas.
And I think this confusion kind of carries on actually with earlier this week as well. And I think we need to bring it to everyone's attention. Tommy sent a photo of when he was at a restaurant, Indian restaurant.
The Tamil Prince in Islington. Can I just say, it's a pub.
Right.
And it only seats about 30 people.
Okay.
Right. Fully booked up because it's just opened up.
Right.
And the guy, the chef that they said, and I've never been there, you would have heard of this. He came from the Roti King. Do you know the Roti King?
Oh, you know the Roti Queen.
Is it Roti Queen?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah.
There's sounds like something I've been on Netflix.
There's a place called, yeah, it does. Yeah, Tiger King.
Yeah.
Follow-up series. Roti King. He just goes around collecting illegal punya.
Yeah.
Illegal punya.
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Like, illegal punya is what Punjabi MC would call his next album.
Illegal punya. Yeah. It's a great song.
No, but actually, to be fair, I think what Tommy sent in the group was a bit illegal.
Okay.
So, I mean, Tommy sent us a picture of him enjoying like what looked like to what me and Tommy, me and Satch, what it looked like was, you know, those big booties that you get.
And to be fair, if it's me correcting you on this kind of stuff, there's a problem.
Yeah, so, but our man Tommy Sandu, who, let's face it, is Desi by heart, and he knows his stuff.
You're getting me on a technical.
And he said, he goes, check out the big nun. And I'm like, what are you on about? He's like, he's had an Amal Rajan there, mate.
No.
What's going on there? He's calling for mango chutney.
You can't just call it an Amal Rajan.
Because people who've been following the podcast now know what an Amal Rajan is. And I was like, you know what? I didn't even reply to it because I thought,
what planet
is this guy on?
It was that's what I mean. I was like, I swear that's a booty.
And the funny thing was, Satch went, that's a booty, by the way.
That's a booty. Like, so basically,
Satch corrected you.
Okay, let me just rewind. What they do in the Tamil Prince is they do a proper puff booty, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. A rapper.
It's giant, and I saw them bring out, say, 20 throughout the night while we were sat there.
Yeah.
And all of them are puffed up.
They go well with Janna.
Oh my, and that's how they serve it up, right? Janna Paduri, right?
That's it, yeah.
Not Paduri, Janna Puri, I'm doing it again. Yeah. But we also ordered, and it described it in the write-up, in the menu, buttery, flaky naan.
Right.
So we did order naan, and we did order the puri.
Right.
And it was me and my sisters and their husbands, and obviously me and my wife as well, right? So load of foods out. And I was eating the naan.
Right.
And then I just sent you the picture of the puri. And I hadn't eaten all day. I'd saved myself because I wanted to enjoy this meal. And the lamb chops were great.
Rightly so.
And the okra fries, which are like, you know, they're like
crispy ones.
Like, yeah, they're like, you know,
cockroaches.
They disappear. They disappear. And oh my God, it was so tasty. The food was so good there. And I think I just wrote, in a brain fart moment, I wrote, check out the size of the naan.
Yeah, the fresh naan.
And, you know, and then that's it. I got called out. You know, that's it. There's no going
I mean,
back.
You're definitely going to get called out in a group with
you
us.
Exactly. You ain't no desi friend, mate, if you don't know your puri from your naan.
Yeah, exactly. And I should have known better. But can I just say, the puri was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then their naan, I've never had a naan textured like this before.
Ooh.
Naan is a bit more teary. This flaked away like a buttery paranta.
Okay.
But it was, it looked like a naan, white.
Maybe it was
white.
A paratha. mixed up as well.
It was a mixture. You look at the menus online, maybe just Tamil Prince, right? No, it was, and it even said buttery flaky naan. So whatever they're doing, they're adding a load of butter.
Was it a lacha paratha, was it?
No, because it wasn't called that in the menu.
Right.
I do like a...
Lacha for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Lacha. but because you obviously made that little boo-boo, have no fear, because me and Satch have organised our Christmas dinner to be at an Indian restaurant, we can educate you.
No.
Is this a brand new Christmas dinner?
This is
a brand new
Christmas dinner. When are we doing that?
On the 1st of December.
The day this,
so
podcast,
the day this, the podcast, day this podcast coming podcast. Out, we will be out for our Christmas meal and
I'm quite
a belated
to
Tommy birthday party.
This is the first, like I've got quite a few Christmas dinners and stuff booked in.
Yeah.
This is the first one.
This is the first one that's going to trigger it all off.
Well,
here we go.
Well, I'm just saying.
He's going to cancel it.
No, I'm not going to cancel it. I'm there. I've got it in the diary.
Right.
But last Saturday then, I went to this Tamil Prince, had my Indian meal.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, which is the Tuesday, right, this week, so the end of November, I'm going for an Indian meal for a mate's 50th birthday. Yeah, that's right. I've got mates turning 50 now.
Wow.
You know, like you remember when your mates, your first mate gets married, or 21, and your mates get married.
Your first 10-year-old birthday party.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're like, my mate's turning 50. Anyway, so 50, we're going to Lahore's in East London, which is famous for just being, and we're watching the football there. And then 2 days later, so what you're saying is every 2 days I'm going out for an Indian meal.
You're going out for
and what you've done is going, guess what, boys?
Hey!
And this reminds me of that moment. I've got to say, I'm going to just say it. And I'm grinning as I say it. We had Naughty Boy on Asian Network Live. I really like Naughty Boy. I really like him. We got on really well. He's a creative person. But as a live performance, it ain't that great. It ain't that great, right? Because he just stands there.
Yeah, because he's a producer.
He's a producer.
So it's hard.
There's
nothing
for him to do. And also,
it's like Kedge getting to just go, oh, Kedge is coming to produce. What do I do?
No, that's different because you'd be a bit more liver. You'd do something stupid.
No, but I wouldn't be able to do anything.
On the stage.
On stage. Like you'd host a show, Satch would DJ.
Absolutely.
But Kedge is pretty. But what does Kedge do?
Absolutely. Right? Like
I mean, no, let's not answer that question.
Nobody knows. Yeah.
I've got a list of stuff he does.
Mess things up, mainly.
Yeah.
But then. But so he stood there and it was a bit, and also he's a bit of a shy sort of guy.
Yeah, he is.
Right? And he's quite inward. So it wasn't a very out there kind of performance. We thought, okay, it's cool, but it's Naughty Boy and he's got big songs out. And then the following year, we're doing Asian Network Live.
Yeah.
The bosses went, guys, got a super exciting lineup.
Yeah.
I've managed to secure Naughty Boy for a second year running. And everyone in the room, every presenter went,
Okay.
So that's how I feel about you booking an Indian restaurant right now. I'm like, we got an Indian to go to on Thursday.
Because
I just went to one a couple of days ago, got one tomorrow.
Where do you want to go?
No, it's fine. I'll go there. Because I tell you why. I like going to Indian restaurants with you guys because we analyze everything.
Yeah.
The service, the people, all that. But it'd be good to get your desi kind of.
Exactly, yeah. So
we're going to our tried and tested.
We're going to tried and tested. Can't go wrong. Yeah, and it's beautiful.
Meet Tali, please.
And Sats just wants to eat loads of food, and that's exactly what
we're going to do. Can we get the pani puris?
Oh, absolutely, we're getting the pani puris.
Are they pani naans? I don't know. I can't tell the difference.
What do you mean?
Pani naans. Yeah, I don't know. He's going to send a photo of something else, and it'll just be.
So that's all happening in the week to come. I mean, I know that Satch wants to talk about something that he basically installed.
Yes,
this week.
Well, it was obviously Black Friday last week.
Yeah.
So that's kind of gone. But and it's weird. Black Friday kind of goes over the weekend, so it's not just Friday.
Yeah, because you get Cyber Monday.
Today.
It started on a Thursday.
So
it was a Black Thursday all the way through to Tuesday.
Grey Thursday. Charcoal Saturday.
So anyway, it picked up a Ring doorbell because never had
Ash Sunday.
Ash Sunday.
Come on, that's clever.
That's a good one.
Sorry.
It's already taken.
Can I get back to my stuff?
Yeah, sorry, Ross.
Anyway, picked up a Ring doorbell. Never had one.
Oh, you got
ever.
A ring. Dun, dun.
Yeah.
No. I missed a note.
No, go on.
I don't know it.
I don't have it.
No, go on. I heard it today, but I forgot it.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's it. I think I missed one note. Dun, 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 dun. That's it.
Wrong.
No, dun, dun, dun. That's it. No, I need four. It's three. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. It is that. Yeah, that.
Right.
That's the So anyway, so you got that put in.
Yeah. So it's the first time I've never.
Can I just ask about the Ring doorbell? Did you screw it into the wall?
And the doorbell.
Not into the wall.
Into the door frame.
Yeah. We got a porch basically.
So did you drill in?
Yeah.
You did that.
Yeah, I did that.
Wow, that's good. The only reason I'm not getting it is I can't drill it. And I don't
I had to do a bit of modification to the door because it wasn't like a flat surface.
Oh, right.
So I had to cut a bit of the trim off to get the plate in.
Okay.
See what I mean?
And you did that yourself.
That's good. Come on, Tommy.
I wouldn't do that.
If I had a drill, everything starts flying around. I'd start turning around.
Do you know what? To be fair, I didn't really need to drill. I got like a Bradawan and made a hole.
I don't know what a Bradawan is.
Brad Friedel?
No,
you make
Bradley Walsh?
You make a little hole with the braddle, and then you can screw.
But what's the braddle, Baba?
You know, the braddle party. You got the groom's party. You got the braddle like party.
It's like a
screw.
It's just like a. It's like driver. A really sharp point. Yeah, like a. You can just
like a little Morty maker. Just make some Morty.
What's a Morty?
You don't have a Morty.
All these words.
Morty is a hole.
Okay. Yeah, make some Morty.
Make some Morty.
Stick it in the
Morty.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, basically. So the gory Morty. I didn't need a drill to drill through it. I just needed that to make a little hole. Then I could screw in. Into the plastic.
Right.
So that's all. That's
like
all
a little marker.
Okay. But that's the thing about the bellies is why does the motion sensor thing just keep going off?
Like, that's the whole point of it, Sage.
What do you mean?
So like you're getting notifications like if anything moves, if your car drives past. Yeah, so you can adjust that.
I've tried to, and the one I've got,
it's not a bell, but it's a camera thing, and it detects, you can choose whether you want animal movement, human movement.
Okay.
And any kind of movement.
At the moment.
Noise movement, like noise sensory.
At the moment, foxes are humans.
And then maybe just turn off. You know what? After the first few weeks, you'll get annoyed with it because every single notification comes out and it just does your nutting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only been up. I put it up in my lunch.
Did you get it on a deal?
It was, yeah. Black Friday.
Well done.
It was a deal.
That's why you got to do it.
And the other thing I got on the deal was I picked up a tablet, a Samsung tablet, to kind of sync up with my phone and stuff. And it's come in handy. You know, I think I bought it at the right time because it's just there on my desk and I'm watching the football.
Yes. The iPads and the tablets are very good for this World Cup.
It's coming in handy at the moment.
Yeah, because it looks like you're working, but you're not.
So that was one thing I picked up.
Okay. So this week, and I'm going to tell you something actually that I discovered today, and I don't even think you guys know, or a lot of our podcaster listeners would even have heard about this, and it's absolutely shocking, and it was going to happen. So this would have happened Monday. So there was going to be an
today's
announcement.
Today's Monday. We're recording it.
So the announcement would have happened Monday afternoon at 2:30.
The 28th of November. 2:30 p.m. Yeah. What would happen?
Political
announcement.
So basically,
how quickly was it going to come into play?
Well, so they were having today they were having a discussion.
Who?
The government.
Right.
About an emergency blackout plan, right? Which was planned for tomorrow, and they were going to announce it at 2:30 p.m. today.
Right.
Whether it's going ahead or not. Okay. So this is.
This is really dumb here.
Yeah.
So
my Ring doorbell work?
Yeah.
Probably not. Because it was looking very likely at about lunchtime today that people across the UK would have been paid to voluntarily turn off their energy on Tuesday evening to help the nation's grid operator swerve a blackout because there was some massive pressure coming over from the French grid, and the National Grid ESO said that they were considering this. And Tommy's just
confused. Looks confused.
So it feels like it's like a meteor's just missed the world. Because you know, I'm waiting for like the.
Oh, bro, is that good? You're telling me to turn the.
You've stunned Sachin to just making noises.
You're telling me to turn off the energy when the England game's on tomorrow.
Yeah. Well,
exactly. That was
the happening.
That's where the uproar would have come. But basically, they were saying that there was going to be this massive drop. Because of this energy that's coming in from France and they've got some technical problems there, and it meant that if they didn't offer people to turn off the electricity tomorrow, we would have had this massive blackout. And to try and avoid that blackout, they were just getting people to just stop their electricity, stop using it. They would have paid you not to use it. Now they would have paid you.
How much?
Well, like a rebate on your bill, probably.
Probably,
somehow.
Probably. I don't know, but the announcement was going to be made at 2:30. At 2:30. The announcement, I've now followed this story up because I was following it throughout the day. Because I was like, when I heard this at midday, I was like, I bet no one knows about this.
Yeah, no.
Right?
How did you know about it?
Well, because, you know, that's what I do.
You go to the dark web. When you're looking for, like, you know, kinky, weird Gujarati sex toys, you find stories like this.
So, basically...
You're looking for something else to put.
At 2:30, they announced that it's not going to happen. Can you imagine people turning off the telly not to watch England Wales?
No
chance.
I would almost imagine if the government then did a U-turn on that, it might have been because of the football. They would have gone, hang on a minute. How can we?
But they could have encouraged people, let's say, to go to a pub or something.
No, they can't. You can't tell people to go to
a
pub.
And Sach, you were saying that they were, you know, you were saying, they would pay you back. They would be paying you back £3 per kilowatt an hour.
That means nothing to me, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's a kilowatt?
I think a house runs on about 4, 5, or 6 kilowatts a day. Something like that. I remember.
Nah, bro, more.
So
than
you're going to get what? Like 10 quid?
No, more than that.
No, tell a lie. That's not. A solar panel.
My electric charger gives that a 7K kilowatts.
Yeah. I think it's a solar panel can generate about that. Or I might be getting it wrong. I'm going to stop talking.
So anyway, yeah, I think
because I think
you should.
We've already got Kedge on the podcast. You don't need me getting things wrong as well.
So basically, what they were saying is that the National Grid bosses were actually, you know, thinking that, you know what.
So then what happened?
They went against the decision. They're saying they won't have to do it now.
Right.
For tomorrow. But it still could be a possibility in the next coming months.
Okay.
So just get ready. Start cooking your janay and all that early in the day so that if they do have to switch off.
You know what? They're getting it wrong. This is what winds me up about the government, right? You got to spin it. It's like you taught me this. You know, when you're in production, when you're in radio, it's what you're going to say. It's how you're going to say it. You're going to make it sound attractive. I would make it winter barbecue night. Guys, we're encouraging everyone to get out of the house. Embrace the cold.
Freeze the jitters off.
Wrap up warm.
Yeah.
Be near each other. Turn your tablets off. Turn everything off. All devices off. Yeah. And then say, let's have a barbecue that night. And then everyone has reduced their power.
But there's got to be some incentive. Like you can pick up your free barbecue pack for like £5.
Why you got to do that for? You're saving money in electricity. You're going to get electricity.
No, we want something for free.
This is the UK public. Exactly. They're not going to do that. Firstly, how many desis are going outside for a barbecue?
I ain't going outside. It's free. You ain't going outside. It's freezing.
You are not going to sit there for a
I'll sit inside, but I'll have the barbecue running outside. I would probably still grill things.
What are you going to stand outside to make it?
Or this? I'm just saying, you got to just sell it. Make it sound like a fun thing that everyone's getting involved in.
That is quite serious, though. If that was going to be like a breaking news thing.
Absolutely.
It was going to be like a big deal.
You know, like Broken Britain is all going under the radar because everyone's been watching I'm a Celeb and, you know, Matt Hancock and everyone thinks he's a legend all of a sudden. But
he is.
Sag, let's not go there.
Are you now a fan?
I'm not. Look, I wouldn't say a fan.
Go on.
But I think he's all right.
Okay, so I'm just not back Tommy Satch up there, but I just want to say, and I think that's really important. There's something that I think everyone learned from this watching Matt Hancock on there, is that you have to always separate the person at work from the person outside of work.
Agree.
And I think people always confuse the two. I'm not saying that, you know, from personal experience or anything like that at all. But
I mean, you're a prick at work.
Well, actually, okay. So quick thing to say on that, and I've got a story that relates to that actually about us at work. But anyway, the thing with him is he's a politician. And I always think politicians are clever. A bit like
he is clever.
A bit like very senior management and large organizations.
But
you know,
I don't think that he's
play things.
I don't think he was that all the time in there.
No, you're right, and I think you would have probably been revealed. But he's also super smart, and he might operate in a way that can just brighter than all of us, and he's able to kind of convince everyone that he's a normal bloke. In the end of the day, however. He's responsible for a lot of people's deaths.
He's
responsible for a lot of people not seeing their loved ones. And I think there's a big part of the nation that will
absolutely. Of course. There was uproar yesterday on Twitter that people were just like, I can't believe he's in the final.
But there was that one thing that I saw where he was talking about, you know, like when he was talking about the cabinet and, you know, like it was quite, like I thought it was quite interesting. Like, you know, what happens when there's a, you know, like a new prime minister and then who gets sacked and who comes in and all of that. And he said, he goes, None of us are experts in this field.
Of course
like the
not.
The defense secretary and the health. He goes, I don't know anything about it. He goes, but you've just got to have transferable skills. And I thought, God, that just sounds like BBC management.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You don't have to know anything about the Asian network. You don't have to know about whether you
Asian culture.
You don't have to know anything about whether you know Jane go with you know Somerset or with
or what a body is or not.
That's why they hide him.
Can I tell you something? Just let me confess this.
Okay, go on.
When I joined the Asian network, I did not know. I'm going to get lynched from this.
You won't.
Ready?
Go on.
Me. And I joined at 30 years old.
Yeah.
Come on. In a picture, I would not be able to tell Gurdas Mann from Malkeet Singh. I didn't know. I knew Gurdas Mann's songs. I knew his name. And I knew Malkeet Singh's songs. I knew his name. But if you held their pictures up and went, which one's which? I go, sorry, mate. I don't know. But I was a house and garage DJ before then, right?
Yeah.
So I'd come from mainstream clubs, mainstream television.
And really so, you didn't
I
know.
Landed Blind Date's voiceover that they went, oh, brown boy, voiceover. Let's get him on the radio.
But you had transferable skills.
Right. And I went, because I'd read a bit of paper and go, that was Gurdas Mann. Weird so-and-so.
Because if you're surrounded by a great team.
Yeah. And I didn't know. I hadn't seen one film with Akshay Kumar. when I joined in 2009.
Wow.
I knew the name.
I mean, that's probably a good thing, though, that you managed to escape it for that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I blagged it and we became top of the game.
Keep blagging it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I blag it all the time. I'm a DJ. I don't watch our Bollywood films.
Yeah, fake it till you make it.
That's it, yeah. Right. Hear the beat, like it, that'll do.
Yeah. But how do we get... Yeah, but actually, talking about you and us and that...
Oh, yeah, you still haven't finished that story as well, yeah.
Right. There's so many stories, and I think, I swear, I've missed about three, so I want to talk about Black Friday stuff more. I want to talk about many other things, but we're moving on, right? There's too many things to get through today. Have we not seen each other for a while?
It feels like we haven't seen each other.
Because he's been in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's just been ages.
Yeah.
Anyway, so talking about us at work. Last week, maybe I should start talking about Broken Brownload before we talk about Broken Britain.
Oh.
Broken Brownload, because if Broken Britain is, you know, everything's falling apart, no one's really communicating, one department doesn't know what the other one's doing, that's me and you, Kedge. Because Kedge was a judge at the Audio Production Awards.
Correct.
Which took place last week.
Yes.
Oh,
who made him that?
Was a judge. I was a judge as well.
Who made you that?
Because I was in
big the game.
I was because they come to professionals in the game and go, will you judge it?
People know about audio.
Professional.
You know what it is? Because we're too crap to be nominated for anything. So you're not a danger.
No.
How'd you become a judge?
They just ring you.
They contact you. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. What department? What category?
So I had to judge best sports producer.
Right. Oh. I had to judge best presenter. Right.
Oh.
And me and him never even discussed it with each
other.
Like it's normally a bit of an honour. And it is an honour to be asked, right?
Yeah.
But because I think, this is my theory, we don't really believe in award ceremonies like that. Partly because even when our breakfast show was the most listened to Asian radio show in the country, it never got nominated for anything because I don't know why. I don't know why. No one liked us. I don't know what it was, right? But we never...
No, but we got the people. We were nominated alongside Chris Evans.
Oh, yes, we were. The Arias.
We were in the mainstream.
We were in the mainstream.
We were the first ones.
First Asian to ever have got that far. And still never, and no one's ever got that far yet.
We'll take that.
But my point is... Not in the breakfast category.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
my point is, we didn't communicate that.
No.
So I get to the... I went along to the awards thinking, I should really go to the awards. I'm a judge on the awards. I should go. You didn't go.
No.
And we didn't even discuss it. I didn't even message you guys to go, does anyone want to go to these awards?
Yeah.
Also because they were going, numbers are really tight. It's one ticket. And I thought, it's a big industry awards. These are audio production awards. It's everyone in radio and audio and podcast world.
Mm.
I thought I should go. And all the big production companies are there. Are you Bauer or Global or what one? I forget which one are you.
Wireless.
That's it. Wireless are there. Bauer are there. Global are there. BBC are there. Production companies are there.
Brownload are there.
Yeah. Right.
Big in the game.
And I saw a girl who used to work at Radio 2.
Oh,
BBC
yeah.
Radio. Her name's Sinead.
Oh, Sinead.
I vaguely
From
remember.
Newsbeat.
Yeah, but I don't really know. I didn't really mix her.
Sinead Garvan.
There you go.
Who now does some shifts at Virgin Radio.
Right. That's a conversation. So she then says, so she's sitting in front of me in the awards show.
Right.
And she went, oh, how you been? I said, I'm really good.
She remembered you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
No, but I knew her from like the BBC Christmas parties and just being in the office.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'll
yeah.
say hello from a distance, but we never spoke back.
Rowdy.
My point is, she is.
Yeah.
Oh, is she? She didn't seem it. But anyway, she's now hosting a podcast with these other people as well. There's a little ensemble podcast is a thing now. It's a category.
Oh, you just chuck people
and
together.
The best ensemble, made boy bands and girl bands, where each of
them... So are we an ensemble?
No, because these guys, there was five of them, and they each do a day each of their podcast. So I remember the Friday girl was a girl called Seema, and she does food.
Dabadia.
No.
The accent. Dabadia.
Dabadia.
What was that?
You have to say that.
What was that?
You
have to say that.
Dabadia.
I'm coming to get you. And then
from Mumbai.
And so yeah, they all got the camera. My point is, Sinead goes, oh, I work at Virgin now. Yeah. And I went, oh, and I'm raising my eyebrows. Like, are you... do you know the connection that Kedge and Satch work there?
Yeah.
I went, what? I said, you know Kedge is there? She goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's looking at me a bit blank. I went, oh, because Kedge and I, we do the Brownload here. And she's she knew about the podcast.
Yeah.
And she was. She nodded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I went, and we were on the breakfast show there. And she goes, She goes, oh, Kedge is so sweet.
Oh.
And I went, no, Kedge.
Did you Kedgel. Record
it? Sorry, we're talking about the same guy. Right?
Kedgel.
She goes, he's such a sweetheart. And I went, and you know, my default is to take the mick out of you.
Yeah.
And I went, yeah. he works really hard.
I don't know what to say.
I don't really know what to say.
I'm like, no, we don't. Go on, Satch, right now, say something nice about Kedge.
He's not sweet.
No, say something nice. Say something nice about him, really.
He's sour.
No, right, he can't.
That's quite... That's
it's just easier to be that way. And, yeah. And we don't have the relationship where I go, hey, Kedge, well done on whatever. I just even
no,
doing
don't,
that.
No, we don't do
give
that.
Him a hug. Give
no,
him a hug.
I can't.
I'd give him a hug.
I'd hug you. I don't
Kedge. Hug me. Don't
exactly.
Touch me.
My point is that there are people out there that think you're sweet, but not people that work at the BBC. They do people that work now elsewhere yeah. that think you're really sweet. Doesn't so there's a lot of love. There was a lot of love for you
so
at the award
what?
Show.
You both of these, you were both at these.
No, well, he didn't go. I was there.
You didn't talk about this.
No,
we didn't even mention it.
And do you boys need counselling or something?
No,
it's weird, isn't it? Maybe, yeah.
I suppose. You know what awards make me? I feel awards.
What's
do.
That song? We don't talk anymore.
We don't talk anymore. Is it Charlie Puth?
Yeah.
And you know what I think it is? Awards make you stop what you're doing and go, oh yeah, look at me, aren't I this? And I don't think we want to stop. Yeah. We still got things to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't stop and reflect. Just keep going.
Yeah, if we stop, I think it'll be when we retire.
Yeah, then we'll collect the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah. Ain't no stopping us.
No.
Yeah. What other things are you going to then?
Oh, mate, the invites have been flowing in, left, right, and centre.
Checking
so
you out.
This is a great... Oh, actually, I almost grinned to myself when I got this invite because I was with a comedian, stand-up comedian. I was doing a show in Warwick Arts Centre on Warwick, sort of, I think it's Coventry University or Warwick University's campus.
Mm.
Sick. It was great just to be driving around on a campus, student buses everywhere, students kicking around, and they got a brilliant facility on the campus, so we went and did a show there on the weekend. A comedian there, named Preet, goes, Tommy, just want to know about your rate to host an event. And I went, oh, it depends what it is, how many hours, where it is, that kind of stuff. I don't really do like private events. More like, he goes, no, it's a public event. He goes, do you know the guys that do hip hop brunch? And I went, no. And he went, he goes, they're guys, you know, commercial guys. He goes, they really want to do like a Bangra brunch.
Okay.
Right? Mm. And I was like, all right. He goes, but like playing all the old school garage and Bangra songs. And I'm there. and they're going to me, will I host it? And I went, I'd love to host it.
Yes,
I said, right?
Very good.
And I went, have you got a DJ? And they went, no. Actually, I went, I've got your DJ, right?
Okay.
Right? They're going to want to make it a once a month affair. So these people come.
Don't lie.
And I'm just there kind of going, this is Kedge's idea. Wait till I tell Kedge.
Don't
that the garage Bangra branch
is happening.
Is happening. Mm. And they are getting, well, it's very early days yet. And I don't even know if we should.
Do they need a pacemaker dancer?
Right.
No. No, they don't.
Just set. Guys, keep up on the running man. Keep up on the running man. Breathe through your nose. Breathe through your nose.
You know, just to egg the crowd on.
Yeah. So they want to.
I'll be that Lulu.
Yeah. So we're not an invited. Might be hosting it.
Where?
They don't know. It's early days. They're putting it all together.
It's got to be London.
But yeah, and it'll be next year at some point.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to have to find some
Versace garms.
And then I went, oh, you know what? Because as I'm saying, I'm like, this is, Kedge has been wanting to do this. I think you've been talking about it for about 2 years?
Yeah, it's in the making.
Right, yeah, right. And I thought, and I went, look, forget the fee.
Yeah.
If you just want to do it in collaboration with the Brownload, I'll do it. I'll
host
it.
In collab right? with the
like,
Brownload.
Let's just do it.
Now, Tommy, that is where you've smashed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know, but I've just ruled myself out of some money, ain't I? So I'm like, oh man.
Well, you still can be paid a little bit.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how
So the Brownload might, hold on, breaking news. Brownload might be doing a little garage brunch.
There's definitely a garage brunch going down and a Bangra garage brunch.
Yeah.
And also all old school Bangra, you know, classic and all that, which I know you love.
I just bumped into Craig David last week. I've got his manager's details. Do we need to bring him in?
Imagine him emceeing over.
Oh my God! I've got to tell you about my little rendezvous with Craig David. See what I did there.
See me and you.
He, you know, like sometimes you just connect with people, right?
Yeah.
And he looked at me because I went and did some social media stuff with him, and we just connected. And he goes, "No, you know what? The first day I was going to say he's such a nice man because I shook his hand, but then you know, like it's business. You want to just quickly
he's a nice
do stuff.
Man.
So you know, normally when you just say, I just went, oh yeah, okay, just doing some socials, and you know, if I just do some.
No, his name's Craig.
No, I said my name's Kedge.
Oh, okay.
And
Kedge David.
He held my hand and he went, "How are you?
Yeah.
He held your hand.
He just stopped time and he just went. Because no one cares. Do you know what I mean? But he just stopped time and he just went, how are you? He was waiting for the answer. And I went, like, I was so thrown by that. I was like, yeah, I'm good, mate. Like, let's just crack on. Because obviously you probably
don't. Was he still holding your hand at this point?
And then he was like,
Kedge's hands were in his pockets, which is weird.
No. But we had that kind of, like, you know, like your skin just slides as you go. Like, it was like, no. And it was just like, it was like a nice moment.
Did he have soft hands?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet he would.
And then he came on. He did 7 days acoustic, right, which was wicked, right. But we locked eyes again because he saw me doing like the trigger finger kind of moves, right. And he saw me bust. And then I went into the studio, and he went, "I saw you, bruv." He goes, "You're a garage raver, innit?" I went, "Yeah." He goes, "What uni were you at, bruv?" I didn't realize Craig David is younger than me, so that was the shock in the system.
Yeah.
But then he goes, "What uni?" I was like, "Yeah, QMW and all of that." And he was like, "Oh, I did some wicked raves there." I said, "Yeah, I know. I went, blah, blah, blah." We had a really good little chat. I think he's my friend now.
Okay. Oh. Can I add to that?
I think he's my friend.
So do you remember he was on the show?
Yeah.
And when he was on the show, firstly, I used to DJ in Southampton when I lived down in Bournemouth.
That's where he's from.
And that's where he's from. And the club I DJed at, it was just when Garage had broken. They went, "Oh, you know Craig David, that Rewind guy?
Mm.
He used to MC here in this club. This is where he started." So I'm like, okay, that was the first little connection to him. But then we mentioned that and I interviewed him. We got on really well. I'll tell you why you got on well with him.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think I would, and you would as well, Sat, is he's quite spiritual. He's very much about the positivity.
So much.
And I'll never forget the opening line he said. I went, "How are you?" And he went, "A." He went, "A." I went, "What?" And he went, "What a time to be alive."
Yeah.
Like just... Hey, isn't life is special, but not in a way that what a time to be alive. You know, things are going really well. It was more like a come on, soak up life. Yeah.
Not in that woo woo kind of sense, but you know what it is? Because the thing is, the guy
sounds a bit woo woo to me.
We didn't really plan this, but let's just talk about it, right?
Yeah.
The guy has been through a lot of down. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, and that's why. So when he moved to America.
That was Jay Sean down.
No.
I know you always get
that whole Bow Selector thing. You know, for one of the most talented British, artists that we had, who was killing it, peak of the game.
Yeah.
And they just, they just pulled the carpet from under his feet. And, you know, they were horrible. Everyone was against him. The whole Bow Selector thing. Poor guy had to go out and live in America.
Yeah. Well, you know, he moved there, but I would say he did. He was writing over this thing, but he had to go off grid.
No, the man was loved here.
Yeah, the Bow Selector thing, though, like Craig David, that finished him.
That's in his new
name. But then he came back with Big Nasty.
With Big Nasty.
And he did that thing on One Extra.
Yeah.
And it just blew up again.
And he's blown up. And good for him. And then there was that moment he had apparently with Lorraine Kelly and everything. And then and he was like, "You know what? I feel like England is my home." And he was just so chuffed that when every time he meets people from the UK and he just goes, "Look at it." He goes, "People still love me." And he finds that really amazing.
He's a lovely man. He's a really lovely man. He's a ledge. Yeah. Yes. And he's
I think he was at the F1 as well. You know that.
Really? Was he?
Yeah, I think he was.
As well as the other. It's a good. And I think he's a part of our history, particularly like that music. Look, Rewind was the first really
Born
big
to do it, that album. That was rinsed. I've rinsed that. I remember we used to play that non-stop.
Every tune was a banger.
Rewind, Flowers, I'll Bring You Flower, and Daniel Bedingfield, Got to Get Through This.
Yeah.
That.
Sweet Like Chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. But they when they all came out, that Doolally, you know, It's a London Thing. That was the start of something special. So I've got fond memories.
Bring on. And I'm talking of fond memories, actually. Do you have fond memories of Blockbuster Video?
Wow. What a difference. Blockbuster Video.
I don't even remember
that. That was the tagline.
I don't know, mate.
Is that what the advert was?
Yeah, that was the tagline. Yeah, right, yeah. So, I tell you what I liked about Blockbuster.
What was your nearest Blockbuster?
It just felt American. It felt, when you go in there, it felt American. Right at the end of our road.
All right, well, let me tell you the story about Blockbuster. The reason why I talk about Blockbuster is because Daniel Craig has been talking.
Craig David to Daniel Craig.
You see what we did there? Smooth. Yeah. And he's been basically saying that when Blockbuster was around, he used to go through the aisles, like sort of like on the sly, and he used to hide his own films. But some of his earlier films, because he didn't want anyone to watch them because they were so bad.
That's funny.
And he goes, "I'll just move them to the back." Because, you know, they were like slightly stacked, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he goes, "I'd move them all to the back." Or he goes, "I'd throw them under the counter so that people wouldn't find them."
The covers.
He goes, "Because I just didn't want anyone to see my own, those earlier types of films that he made." Because he was really embarrassed by it. He's in a brand new film at the moment called A Glass Onion, Knives Out Mystery. I don't know if you've heard about that one.
It's called
Glass Onion, a Knives Out Mystery.
It's Knives Out Part 2, basically.
That's it. It's Knives Out Part 2.
Okay, because I knew about Knives Out Part 1.
Apparently, it's a big deal and they're going to make a number 3.
It's a big cast.
Knives Out. Yeah. That's like a thing.
It's called Knives Out, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole host of people in it. Kate Hudson's in it, I think. Yeah. So, it's a big thing. But I just thought, you know, when I read that and I thought Blockbuster is like you said, it felt like we were going to America. There was something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Blue carpet.
Yeah. Mm. And big sign.
Oh my God. Mm. So I used to love going to my friend's house in Uxbridge because the Uxbridge Blockbuster, like it had like kind of like this like sort of aisle gangway thing that you could go down. Do you know what I mean? It was so big.
Oh, like like it had like snaking aisles.
Yeah, like a snaking aisles. And but it had like every genre of film in there. Yeah. Then they had all the food, the popcorn. But then the certain one, like the one in the Blockbuster that we had like near Watford Bushy was really small, a really small.
Yeah, our one was tiny as well.
That's more, it's more just kind of dropping. Yeah. Now, as you're saying that, geez, the memories that are coming back, the nostalgia, because I went through the evolution of video cassette hiring. So you first memories are going to the suit shop that also did videos with my mum.
The Desi one.
Oh,
but that was normally a barn shop as well.
Oh, no, it wasn't barn.
Oh, so in Northwest London, there were barn shops.
Wow.
In South London, it was like Nastor shops.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, this was reams of material.
That's weird, isn't it? How East London, it would be material.
Material. And then the videos at the back.
In Northwest London, it was a barn shop.
Mm. Yeah, no, it was.
And then also where you get tickets from as well, like for your Discolandia and all that.
Yeah. It was the same in South, but it was like you could go and get all your Nastor from there.
And when I think back to it,
Gattier and stuff.
Gattier. I saw it. By the way, quick thing. I saw Fully Gattier.
Is that
a type of Gattier?
FULI. How Gattier are you? I am fully Gattier. Yeah. I'm fully converted.
It's a type. There's loads of different types of it.
Okay, so this one was fully.
Not semi.
No, no, it wasn't a semi Gattier.
No,
full. It got me with the fully. Yeah. And coolly. And the material, I remember being in those material shops and the video shops for what felt like days. You know, I can really feel that, like, come on, mum, let's go.
But the problem with that was with the Indian video shops is that I just don't think they had enough copy per film, wouldn't it?
No, they make
their own copies.
Two or three.
They make their own.
Oh, two. It was only four ever, like, especially if it was the big film.
Yeah.
Ham up Gagon.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what we used to get from the Indian. I'm trying to think of a VHS that we got from the Indian video shop.
I remember getting Agnipath.
We got Tridev.
Yeah, I remember getting
Agnipath. Bro, that's recent.
No, the original, bro.
Not the Katrina Kaif.
I remember, I can see the cover, and we had our own copy of Amar Akbar Anthony in the end, but we had
our own copy of Amar Akbar Anthony recorded from Channel 4.
Yeah.
With the adverts.
Yeah, exactly. You can't miss that. But then it was that Desi one, and then you had the independent video shops, but then when Blockbuster.
What do you mean independent video?
Like, you know, like just run by no brand, no chain.
Yeah.
It was just a shop on the corner of the road.
Yeah, they were just like.
There was a level in between that where it was run by Desis who just have a boot full of videos. They just come around your house.
No, yeah. So I knew someone in the South that just did it from their house. So you'd go around their house. Their house was Blockbuster.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Where were they stored?
Just in their living room. It's just
so you were allowed into some random person's living room
house to go and get
and what was the display?
No, it was just stacks of cassettes, like if
in
you
a box.
You just, wow. No, just on the floor, stacked up.
So you had like 10 copies. So you'd have to bend down. You'd have to bend down and try and read. Like,
no, but you just go there and you say, "I want to watch this film," and you just get it out for you. That's it.
Have you got Jaws 3?
Yeah. Just come were out. They legit covers or just in a normal old VHS cover?
No, they were on flipping JVC cable.
Black with the red coloring on it.
Man. Look at
that.
Wow.
We used to have Bimji Bhai who used to come over and
Bimji Bhai.
Yeah, Bimji Bhai. Lovely bloke, long hair, Indian fella. I don't know where he came from, but you just figured out, like, because obviously where we were living at the time, it was a very Gora area. So I don't know how he found out that there was this one Asian family there.
And he's like, they're my market.
But we were his market, absolutely. And then obviously, you know, like we could keep it for a couple of, because that was the big thing. We could keep the video for say 2-3 weeks.
How much these things cost? I didn't know.
How much
if you were to hire a, because I can't remember that.
I don't remember that.
How much was it?
Maybe a couple of quid.
No, but I remember being a couple of quid. No, yeah, like $3.50, which was a lot back then. You know?
Someone dobbed him in though, and he ended up in prison.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
was you?
No. We were loving it. We had Ram looking for about 3 months. Do you know what I mean? It was like I knew all the songs and everything, all the moves.
But that explains everything.
But then he obviously moved on, and then it's funny, isn't it? How he went on to DVDs.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
Then you get all the pirate DVDs.
Yep.
Or then you go to India and then you get like 3 films on. That was game changing. When you get 3 films on one DVD.
Yeah,
but Kedge, that wasn't official.
No, it wasn't. No, of course that it wasn't.
Like,
that's all dodgy DVDs.
I bet you got bare dodgy DVDs.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, but now it's all right. But the, if they did a raid of his house and they find on one DVD, there's my like 25 God. Bollywood
my,
films.
Literally, I've got probably the whole of the Bollywood industry in my
there
loft.
There you go, on dodgy DVD. Along with his
that's all on one DVD.
Along with his fake Versace and Machino clothes. Yeah. They're all in the loft.
It's all up there. The Kedge's loft.
Well, you know, whole just very quickly about Blockbuster, didn't it have a really distinctive smell? I always felt like every
did it?
Every Blockbuster I ever
what
went
kind
into.
Of smell? Like smell, candy?
It was,
candy?
Like a, it was
candy?
Just it was like a bit of a popcorn-y. Sort of dusty smell with popcorn.
I don't remember.
As you just said, I was pictured the
it was blue and yellow. Blue
yeah, it was blue and yellow. Blue and did yellow, you ever get into the renting games? Because that came a bit later.
That came a little bit later, but I wasn't PlayStation a fan 1. Of renting games.
No, I didn't like renting games because you can't. I can't do it in a day.
You
or two.
Can't exactly because you've got to complete it in a day.
You save it on the memory card and then you go and get the game again in a few weeks.
I didn't have the facilities.
And
I was earlier, so I was you know Amstrad CPC 464 Spectrum ZX. There was no games. So when Blockbuster started doing games, I was in that period. I was out.
You're growing out.
Yeah,
of
growing out of gaming. Yeah, yeah. And I didn't have the fancy.
Okay.
No,
I remember that PlayStation 1.
But I
games.
Never. Even when I was in Blockbuster with my dad. I would never ask for the M&M's or the Maltesers.
No, too expensive.
But I knew it then, when at 11 years old, 12 years old.
I didn't know it was expensive. I just preferred the Desi popcorn at home. That's why.
Trust you, yeah, Desi. Everything, masala. But
I've got to say as well.
Did you have Desi M&M's?
No. This is sweet. No, this is sweet.
Maybe wait, mixed it with the Suwanana or something.
Yeah, I remember Blockbuster where... Because Blockbuster was all of a sudden... I remember about Blockbuster...
You know, and the mouth like, freshener stuff, you mixed it with
them. Oh, what are they? Yeah.
Love
those
it.
Those little seeds.
Love it. Yeah. McQuass.
Huh? Yeah. With M&M's.
That's how you talk.
Yeah. that as well. But like, you know, do you remember Blockbuster? And then by accident, you'll end up in the slightly over 18 section.
Yeah,
as well.
I bet you by accident.
By accident. And you just like, look at those covers. And go, oh, God, look at those covers.
Misty Nights. You're like, oh,
Misty Nights. I didn't see that one.
No, whatever. Well, they've got really 80s sort of old school names.
Fair
like,
exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even the like slightly funny, Rudy ones, like the Naked Gun or like the Airplane.
Naked Gun.
And, you know.
Naked Gun is brilliant.
Police Academy.
Oh, Police Academy.
It's so good.
Police Academy 3.
Michael J. Fox. Anything that he did.
Them films came on telly all the time, though, back then.
I think they probably will this Christmas. They will be around. Yeah. I do love that around this Christmas. And I guess we've got to start talking about Christmas because when this podcast comes out, it will be the 1st of December.
Actually, you're right. Yeah. Welcome to your Christmas month, which, by the way, Logan.
This is it now.
My 5-year-old is very excited about. How long to December? That's all he talks about. Yeah, I know. I keep saying he's right. Yeah. Also, his birthday's
it's
in December.
Here.
So, and actually, let me now that we are getting ready for Christmassy kind of stuff, and we're getting maybe the house ready, putting the tree up. You're going to put the tree up on Thursday?
Yeah, I think it's got to go up this weekend. I think it's got to go up this weekend.
A lot of people have done it.
I'm going to have to go onto the roof, put the reindeers out.
Yeah.
Are you doing all of that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love that though. I love it.
I'm going to put a tree up, and that's about it.
Is it? No, I like to do the outdoor show.
But the
do you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what about
not,
with the lights?
It's not me.
He's anyone? Misty Nights? Misty Nights.
On the roof. Yeah. Every night. Musty Nights. 8 o'clock. People are queuing up.
Leave it out, mate.
So I've got it because this always comes about every kind of Christmas time. They start to review where the best places to buy your champagne or your bits for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Or your
the
tree
usual.
And
yeah.
all, little stuff. Well, I can tell you it's now come about that where to get the best mince pies.
Oh,
so they did the review. I'm going to cut straight to it.
I firstly admit that I've already had a mince pie?
Oh, I haven't had one yet. I'm not a massive fan.
I had a festive pie, you see.
Before December.
From MacD's.
What's that?
It's a mince pie filling with custard in an apple pie filling.
Is there?
Yeah.
Satch, is that real?
Never had it. MacD's, you've never had it.
So it's like a mince pie.
Just this year or every year?
No, it's been there for years, bro.
I've never seen it.
Go and get it.
It's
so
my
imagine
wife loves custard.
Imagine
she would have known about
like
it.
The apple pie of an apple pie.
Right.
It's filled.
So it's long.
It's the same size and everything.
Yeah.
Comes in the same.
And it's got the mince pie filling.
Where's the
mince
custard?
Mince pie filling.
Piping hot.
With custard inside it.
Piping hot.
Yeah, piping hot.
Where's the custard?
Inside it.
Oh, no, I don't know that.
No, but it's like.
That's going to leak out the bottom.
No, it's not going to leak.
No,
you
but
have
how,
to try.
When you bite it, so it's all gooey.
No, it's just a mix of. Honestly, try it.
It works. If you're saying it works. Okay, fine.
Okay, I'm surprised you've never had it.
That has made me
you need
very
to go,
angry.
You need to go and get it on the way back.
Well,
I might do that.
I'm not a massive mince pie fan, but you know when like you're at workplace or whatever, and there's a little tray of them out.
Oh yeah.
And then you have a cup of tea and you think, oh, I'll have one. And then that sweet little sweet sugary hit with a cuppa is beautiful. It's banging. But I don't like it. I'll probably have one or two.
Do you know what? With mince pies, I'm actually glad that they only really come out around Christmas. Mm. Because like hot cross buns now are...
All year round.
Mainstream. You get them all the time. Hot cross buns are always...
Because this morning in the cafe, because Milo woke up late, long story, and I was annoyed. And he goes, he hadn't eaten breakfast. And we got in the car and I didn't realise any... And so we stopped. And I saw a hot cross bun coming out of the oven. There you go, they're putting them out. This morning. Yeah.
That's an Easter thing.
But yeah, exactly. Anyway, where is the best place? So they did the review. They tasted all of the...
A little bit of knowledge.
All of the mince pies, and they tested it at Lidl, Aldi, Tesco, Sainsbury's.
Yeah, all Morrison, the supermarkets.
Right, and they said...
The best one.
The best one. For £2, you get six of them. Yep. So it works out as 33 pence a pie.
Nice. Waitrose.
Which is apparently a little bit on the dearer side. But then compared to the others, but it's not that expensive, really. Yeah. 33 pence. It's okay. It's doable.
Waitrose.
M&S. Not far away. M&S. Actually? Marks and Spencer's have come out as top of the pies.
I got a box of M&S mince pies.
Perfect. You got the best ones. Are they buttery and flaky and lovely and sweet and delicious?
I don't know about buttery, but they were.
Are you a short crust or a puff pastry?
There's always in short crust, isn't it?
You can get puff pastry ones as well.
No, don't leave that. By the way, I'll tell you what, I've had these Marks and Spencer's one. They've got a nice little sugary, you get this like sugary kind of texture on the top, on the lid.
Lovely.
Which is game changing. And the mix is good. It's strong, because I do like it a little bit strong, those black currants. Nice black currants.
You want a nice, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Mm. And the pastry is not too thick, doesn't crumble too quickly, holds its shape. I haven't tested it with custard yet. I just like eating them plain.
But
I would vouch for that. Definitely.
They actually said in this review, in this paper, which is the Manchester Express, saying that it won by a mile. The M&S ones were way better than the others.
I can believe it.
Yeah. They're all the major supermarkets are in the mix.
I do like Tesco ones because they're small.
And I'm going to say the same thing I've said last year, and I think I've said it the year before that, which is I once had in the radio studio together, we all did, the Harrods ones.
Oh yeah,
and it was were fantastic.
That was next level.
I also think when you're doing the breakfast show, you're tired, right? You're always
anything
tired.
Tastes good.
So anything sugary, anything sugary, your body suddenly goes,
maybe.
What's that?
I think we should try more of that. Yeah, we should try them
maybe
now.
Maybe we should. Thank you for that little heads up on the mince pie.
But also, just for all the meat eaters out there, I know this doesn't apply to either of you because you don't really eat sausages anyway, Sam.
No.
But Lidl is top of the sausages wrapped pigs in blankets. Sausages wrapped in bacon. Lidl, it says it beat Tesco, it beat Aldi. Lidl's got the best pigs in blankets. So if you're going for those, get them in.
Just very quickly then on the Christmas food hype, there's one thing that we kind of need to say be careful of this year. Because be careful. Yeah, because for me... Twiglets are a key thing on the menu.
Must at
for
Christmas.
They have to be on the spread in a bowl, just on the table with every other little...
Straight in the tin. Everyone's hands going in. Love it. Keep spreading the Rona. I love that. I love it.
Do you like Twiglets though?
Oh, I love Twiglets.
I'm surprised you like Twiglets.
Do you like Twiglets?
Oh, I love Twiglets.
Because you get that kind of salty vibe and it's just... I don't know why,
It's funny you say salty.
Is that what Marmite tastes like?
Apparently.
Maybe I need to start smothering myself in Marmite.
Kedge, Twiglets taste like Marmite, bruv.
I've never had Marmite.
You.
Plonker. Go on, say it.
Say something
else.
Is
that what Marmite tastes like?
Marmite is that... It's quite meaty, that smell and taste.
You'll love it.
Let me tell you.
If you like Twiglets,
let me tell
you,
the Gujarati vegetarian household, when it's Christmas, oh my God, we go through buckets of Twiglets.
But that's because Gujaratis just love anything crunchy.
maybe it is the Christmas sort of gatia.
Christmas crunch.
Christmas crunch.
One minute there, I thought you said we modified them a bit of garam masala.
Masala.
But that's what it is, though, isn't it? So go on. Why should we be careful?
Because a lot of people have said that there's already been an outroar from Twiglets fans, and they're saying they've changed the recipe. They've actually come out and said, "Yeah, we have changed the recipe."
Shut up!
Yeah,
so they can't sneak that on people.
They just did it on the slide, and then everyone was kicked off and said,
"So what did they change?"
So basically, they used to be fried; they're now baked.
Oh my God!
Which I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, it is a bad thing.
It is a bad thing. Chips fried or baked?
Yeah,
come on.
No, of course you're gonna have.
And then I eat those baked crisps, but they're not the same.
They reduce the salt. By about 30%, 40%
people are going to notice
that. Yeah, it's going to taste.
That is going to taste disgusting now.
But I do like the fact that, like, the other day I went into Tesco's and there was just so much Christmas stuff. And I was like, Well, it don't matter. We can start. If it's on the shelf, you can buy it and start eating it.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's been on the shelf since October.
No,
yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, the other day, it just felt more Christmassy. Like, I saw cheeselets, cheese balls.
You know what I bought?
All of those, you know, the tubs.
Yeah,
those tubs
you get the
only
tub.
Come out around.
Because you get the peanut tubs as well.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a sucker for party food. I had no one coming over, I bought it for myself.
You know those adverts for Iceland and stuff, yeah, where yeah. they just had that spread. Even if I don't eat meat, I still want to eat all of that
right.
stuff.
Right,
because it looks brilliant.
Why is that? So I think it's kids' food as well. So
because you just pick and eat, yeah. keep going.
I was at GB News over the weekend and they had an audience in for the show before us. So because there's audience members in, they brought a load of food out, party food.
Yeah.
Bro, as soon as I see sandwiches cut into little triangles, yeah. all the crust taken off, sausage rolls, cheese rolls, little mini sausages, Doritos.
Onion rings. I had onion rings.
I've eaten.
So
but
many.
I just love that stuff.
You smashed them all.
I love it. I had the most out of everyone there. And while, you know, you think, I keep getting up and going back to this table because
yeah.
I just love it. Love a little, and it was a little cheese and onion sausage
and
roll.
And one thing that I did say that I did pick up and I took it because we were watching the football with all of our mates like together the other day. What day was it? It was like on the weekend. Friday,
yeah,
and like you know, just
the
going
England
around,
game,
going around, yeah, England yeah. game, went round mate's house. He was just like, you know, I just took box of nibbles, so like crisps, yeah. Pringles,
yeah,
you know,
as you do,
lovely,
all sorts of stuff. And I was at the till and I saw after eight, there's a new flavour with orange in it.
Oh, I saw that on your Instagram,
and I picked it up,
mate.
I picked it up. I thought, let's give it a go.
We need to have words.
Honestly,
if you say it tasted nice,
it's a game changer.
Oh, wait.
Lovely.
Firstly,
lovely.
Full declaration. Chance. I've had after it a couple of times, only because my sisters used to have it. Again, that reminds me of growing up as well.
Oh my God, me too, right? Yeah. Because so, we used to sneak it.
Well, no.
We used to sneak one out because we were not really allowed.
I'd have it. And actually, because of the advert campaign, because they bring it out after dinner because it's after eight, yeah. right? It's like your dessert thingy.
Mate, so, 8 a.m.
Yeah. 8 a.m.
Right, yes. So they, in my house, they'd bring it out like, oh, who wants a little after it? And I'd always have one thinking, it's chocolate. And as soon as I'd bite, I'd go, someone's just done a dutty in my mouth.
No.
Like, what is this?
No, gooey, thin,
rubbish, dark chocolate.
After eight is elite.
Am I brushing my teeth? I'm eating chocolate.
That's the beauty of it. It does it both.
No.
Fresh in your mouth.
So I didn't like it back then. But now you're saying it's orange flavoured chocolate.
But it's still after eight.
What colour is it?
It's got a little hint of orange in there.
But what's the gunk colour?
No, it's still the same. It's white.
I don't want a hint of orange in it.
Bruv, try it. Don't
maybe
knock
if it. Had a hint of lemon.
What is it with you and not trying stuff, Kej?
Yeah, Kej. You've got to be more open, Kej.
I know how the world should be. And that is wrong.
But just try it. I'm just saying, you've got to try it, isn't it? And then you'll know whether you like it or not. You can't say it's going to be rubbish if you've even tried it.
It might just completely put me off.
Orange chocolate.
Tommy would try it.
Yeah, I would try it. But orange chocolate's blown up so big recently. I know it's
always been there. New Zealand have only just got Terry's Chocolate Orange.
Yeah. Oh, man. Which I thought was a bit weird, wasn't it?
And they're fascinated by it.
Okay. So there you go. That's one thing you've learned. Is that the thing you've learned?
No, that's not the thing I've learned. But we can add it as a little freebie.
Okay.
But we can talk about things we learned. What have you got, Seth?
Shall I go first?
Yeah. Yes, please.
The thing I learned was, and this kind of blew my mind because I was just like, what, really?
Hmm.
What does Wi-Fi stand for?
Oh,
wireless. Okay.
We say it all the time.
Well, Fi, when it comes to hi-fi, I've never made this connection. It's fidelity. I think it's high fidelity is what hi-fi is. So is Wi-Fi wireless fidelity?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not.
Is it wireless?
I've got nothing else.
No.
Oh.
Wi-Fi.
Where is funny India? Indians. Where? No, I ain't got nothing.
Go on.
You ready to have your mind blown?
Yeah.
Wi-Fi doesn't actually stand for anything. It's just something that they made to sound catchy.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's made up.
That's such a letdown.
Wi-Fi is made... Yep. No.
Everyone was like, oh, wireless finder, wireless fidelity because of the hi-fi thing.
Yeah.
None of that. It just sounded catchy. It basically had some...
Come up with
it? It had some random number because of the technologies like IEEE. Do you know when someone develops something and they have like this random code?
Like a planet when they find a...
They were like, we can't call it that, obviously.
Yeah.
So we just thought
someone
of
someone just thought of Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Like, give us the Wi-Fi.
I mean, that is brilliant.
In terms of
an invention, if you can sit there and you've made something up like
a word,
which is now globally used
and
everyone is dependent on it.
I was thinking about it.
Like kids know what Wi-Fi is before they know their mum and dad.
You could go into any corner of the world and say Wi-Fi to anyone that don't even speak your language.
Yeah.
They'll know what you're talking about.
Wi-Fi? Wi-Fi?
Yeah, no, that's in India. But I'm just saying, Africa, anywhere. Anywhere.
Yeah. What's that? No, you're
Far
right.
Far East. You could just say Wi-Fi and straight away they'll know.
They'll
and
give I you thought, a code.
That is pretty sick.
That's probably got to be in the top five words that's universally known.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
like Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Universally known.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a made up word. But then that was based on cocaine as well. They had cocaine in it back in the day.
Right.
But like Google, for example, I know that Google
is an international, universally
made up name, but now everyone just says it as Wi-Fi like Google. But yeah. Why was it called Google? Just a quick one. Google was called Google because the original name of the website was going to be Google, G-O-O-G-O-L, which is a mathematical term for the number one followed by 100 zeros.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, like it goes on and on.
Infinity.
On. Yeah. So it's like a bit like a, so these kind of words, a part of tech world, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just stuck.
That's it.
Wi-Fi.
They sat around the table and said it needs to be something catchy. What they come up with, it's a sound. The sound is Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Oh, see, wow. Maybe, yeah, because lo-fi, then it's the sound. Yeah, because so from lo-fi and hi-fi, they've just gone. I think there's still a bit more of a logical connection to it. I think they're kind of going, it's the web's fi.
They've said it themselves. There is no connection to anything. We just wanted it to sound something that is catchy.
I love that. Yeah. I'm going to tell everyone that this
okay.
week.
Okay. My one is a discovery, but less so about technology, more so about old school stuff. So the story I came across, which I've always loved stories like this about sort of life and the world and animals and dinosaurs and what could happen.
David.
Yeah, no, but we all do. And this story came out. It says, there might be an outbreak of zombie viruses.
Oh, here
this
we
is
go.
Real,
here we go.
Right? This is the thing. I know.
So there's just a little bit of scaremongering, Tommy.
No, yeah, I think no, so.
No, not at all. And actually, it's quite logical.
Right, go on.
There
were viruses from millions of years ago that are effectively frozen in the ice. But as the ice melts now through global warming, so it could be scaremongering. They might have been.
I think it is.
Right? As it melts.
As the ice melts.
It will release the viruses that are frozen in there that are still viral because they're frozen and perfectly preserved.
So they go airborne.
Yeah, it will become airborne again. So one of the viruses called the Pandora virus, right?
Yeah.
Is located in a lake, by the way, called Yakutia. I'm just saying that's what it's called. It's Y-A-K-U-T-I-A.
Yakutia. Of course it is.
Yakutia lake and is holding the Pandora virus.
Yeah.
And it's
it's
in the district
of
Derimadi. No, it's not. It's in the district. And, but basically, it's they've found this Pandora virus in Yakutia. And it's like,
is this Kutia Lake?
Somewhere where it's cold.
Add this to the place we need to visit, please, on that journey that we're doing.
No, I don't want to get no Pandora virus.
Yakutia.
That's what I was thinking of as well, the song.
Okay. Anyway, my point is, zombie viruses.
Right.
Now, because we've just come out of a pandemic. Mm. We know about viruses. Mm. Now it's like, and just when they thought it was over, the virus from 100 million years ago came back to haunt them. And it's going to be released because of global warming. So there you go.
Well,
yeah, I think that's scaremongering, though.
Yeah, no,
something to look forward to.
I think so.
Let's see how it goes. But
Kedge was scaremongering earlier as well.
No. I'm not scaremongering. And also, the thing that I've learned is actually basically relieving. See what I did there? That will make sense later on in a minute. Relieving the stress for men that they face on a day-to-day basis, right? Yeah. And that is that scientists have finally developed a urinal to drastically reduce the pee splashback.
Oh, very Love good.
It. Because let's face it, and we don't speak about this.
No, let's not face it.
And well, no, don't. Well, you have to
don't
face
it. Don't face the
splashback. It helps if you face it, but
I mean, don't face the other way.
But the fact is, and I always thought about this, why do men never talk about this? Why do women never ask men about this as well? But when
disgusting.
Well, no, but when men go to the urinal, and if women don't know this, we'll let you into the secret, but there is a lot of splashback.
Splashback, and all on the floor, splashback. Give
well,
me
there
some
is.
More,
and it's men's jeans and trousers are covered in
no,
splashback.
They're not.
Yes,
why
it
they're
is.
Not?
It is.
You know what?
It is.
I think he's got a pissing problem.
Yeah, you know why? Because he drinks beer, right? So he'll go running in the toilet with his willy out.
No. Anyway, for many a year, we all know urinals, you know, it's just, and which is the one that you hate the most? I hate the silver ones that are just like a unit with a little tray at the bottom.
That's like school ones.
And it's the school ones.
Yeah.
The school ones.
We're basically.
Because that's just full on splash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight back at you.
Basically, so it's a wall. And effectively, the wee's all being gathered by your feet. That's the one.
Oh, no, oh the one right at the floor. Oh, that is the worst. Like, when you go to a bar, that's all over your shoes.
Yeah, and all over your shoes. And the Bandar's ones next to you is over your shoes. You
the
can
next
see
man.
Bang, and then
on the metal one, which is like the collector one, the long collector one, like in school, that's the splashback you're getting from all the people down the thing.
Can I just ask?
And also, they have that football stadium.
Football stadium.
Because it makes sense. It can bang loads of people in there.
Yeah, but what I hate, I don't know why I hate it.
Yeah, but then you're getting splashed everywhere from different angles.
No, the worst than that, I don't know why I hate it so much. You're doing your push-up in that one. It goes all the way down the metal thing. It's at the bottom. And then the person from upstream, Mutti, is pushing your Mutti down. And I'm like, leave my piss off.
This is my area.
This is my Mutti.
Yeah. It's like my just because you're going,
come on, Mutti.
Just because he's weeing the Thames. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I've got a little piddle coming out. It's like, why are you coming into my area?
Yeah, exactly. And he's washing me away. I'm like, oh, no. Now, when I'm still weeing, I'm weeing on top of his wee. And the splash I'm getting on my Jutti is like, is that his?
Exactly.
Basically, you need to not go to the end of that line because obviously the thing's on an angle, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
So now they've come with these tall, narrow designs, basically, which is met with a curving inner surface which prevents any droplets from actually ricocheting out of this thing. Mm. And the lead researcher from this thing has said, like he goes, the idea originated from where you think. It was basically... Men were having problems with this. It was driving people nuts. And they thought, right, this is how we're going to do it. Because people didn't want jeans speckled with urine. Yeah, and you know what? It is such a... I can't believe... We're in 2022. Why have we not figured out a better way for men to go to the toilet?
Yeah, well, they could just sit down. But men don't want to do that. Men want to kind of whiz in. Literally whiz in and whiz out.
But it's happened. They were expecting...
What's it look like then, this thing?
So it looks like this, basically. They look very sort of like futuristic. But like I said, they're thin, narrow, and they kind of look encapsulate your droplets.
The problem with that is drunk people are going to miss that.
Yeah, because it's a little bit thin. And also, you've got to straddle it, and then, you know, and it's all like...
I don't want to touch
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, you definitely
want
to touch it, mate.
And also, I want to talk about, because the other day... I was in a urinal the other day, right? And I was the only one. There was four.
You can't get inside them, Ked. You've got to just get...
No,
why are you in a urinal?
No, not in it. But I always think urinal... I was in the toilet, and up against the urinal, and there was four.
Who are you there with?
I was going...
You're having a snog.
I always go middle.
Where the spoons?
Which one do you go to? Middle, left, right?
You have to go to the end.
No, I'll go middle. I don't care. Bindas. I'll go middle and I'll hog the space. I'll hog the space. But then...
Would you put your arms out when you're weeing?
No, like an aeroplane. That's another thing. So, because obviously where I go to the toilet, there's celebrities use that toilet. So I know how celebrities now go, like Martin Keown, Alan Brazil, and a few. It's weird, isn't it? How it's a slight older lot. They tend to lean against the wall.
Like they're drunk.
Yeah.
And they're tired.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't touch them all.
Why would you do that?
You know that's got like... Susu residue.
But also, how tired are you that you can't just stand there for 25, 30 seconds?
21 seconds.
I need a
That's
wiener.
What it's going to be.
Exactly.
And also, what happened to me was, this guy came next to me and he looked at me. I'm like, why are you looking at me? Because I look straight. I don't think you should look. Do you look if someone comes?
No.
Next to you?
No.
You just look forward, don't you?
Yeah, because then you get that awkward thing. Like, I'm like, there's got to be... Why don't men know this sort of etiquette?
Right, let me just share this, because on that note, I've gone into urinals and I've turned around. Let's say even it's an event or something and I'm hosting the event. So people have seen me on stage. Oh. And then there'll be a bloke there and he'll go, hey, Tommy. I'll go, oh, what's happening?
And then it's the chat.
No. And he's finishing. But my push-up hasn't come yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And now I need to just focus for a minute. Now I can't talk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got to focus.
And so he goes, I'll wait for you. I just want a picture. I hope you don't mind.
No,
I was like, all right. But now I'm under pressure. I'm going,
isn't it? Now I've got a Susu on demand. I can't do that.
I'm not on
Sky.
It's not Sky.
You guys have got some serious Susu anxiety.
No, but it was more just that he said, I'm waiting for you. I'm like, okay.
So if someone talks to you, they go,
well, I'm waiting for it as well.
Shh. Can you just
so if someone talks to you, just bun. That's it. He gets lock off.
Once I'm flowing, then it's all
then
right.
It's cool, yeah.
But until then, like, shh, shh.
It needs to
go. Yeah, okay, we're good.
What
Chalo.
Do you mean? Shh.
Just, I got to tell my brain, focus on that.
So what do you do when they go to clubs and there's music and everything playing?
No,
I told the DJ to turn it off.
So what about the guy? What about the guy who's offering you like mints and?
No, that's different. But there's someone there who's kind of waiting for me, like Simon. You know Simon, obviously Simon. He loves to chat when he wees. Like he's that guy.
I hate that. Don't talk to me.
And if there's four empty urinals, I've gone to one. He'll come and stand in the one next to me.
Why?
And he'll go, "All right, mate," and he'll pretend like we don't know each other. He goes, "Wow, that's a big one, isn't it?" He does all that. So he loves it. And I'm like, just shut up for him. Just wait. He'll go, "Woo, big boy."
So you have to wait to get triggered first, and then you're relaxed. Yeah. That is hilarious.
No, then I can talk.
Then it's not in my control.
Never heard that.
Taken over.
From the moment you enter till you actually start, there's a little ritual process.
There's no chat there.
Because both of you do this, this is obviously a thing for a percentage of men.
Yeah.
I've never heard about
this. So you can just go in and go and talk. Yeah. Everything and just.
But that's kind of like him and his.
Yeah, I'm just ready to go.
Verbal diarrhea. Yeah, it's all coming out.
His nose is running. He's crying.
Exactly. Wow. I did not know that. That's the thing.
Yeah. See,
well, there you go. Everyone learns everything.
We do.
And the podcast.
Get in touch. So your weeing habits. We want to hear about.
We don't really.
Sholi and naan and patore and buttery naans or anything else you want to share food wise. But just always drop us a line. It's great to hear from you where you are, who you are. It's great to always know where our listeners are. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome. We just do this every week. We just talk nonsense.
Oh, it's our anniversary.
Is it? How many years are we? Are we 4 years?
Did we miss it? No, I think I've got it. No, hold on a minute.
What, are we 4 years?
Let me just check the old calendar.
It would be four.
It would be 4 years. And
I think it is this one.
On the 7th of December.
Next week. 7th of December. So next week, exactly. Next week. When it comes out.
No, next is Wednesday, 7th, next week.
Next week will be the anniversary.
Okay,
show.
But we would have recorded. Well, that's good. So we're going to have our meal, we're going to have our Christmas dinner. Yeah. It's got lots to look forward to.
Rolled into one.
Exactly. All good vibes. Very so nice. Until nice. Then, for the big 4 year anniversary party one.
4 years.
I know, it's good. And you know what? A lot of podcasts flop and fail. We've kept it because apart from the odd one that Kedge has had to made us miss.
Oh, excuse me.
We've been here. So thank you for sticking with us if you've been there the whole time. We'll catch you next week for the 4th year celebration.
Laters.
Moro Casino.
America's Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.